Welcome to Eve's Apple, the podcast. I am Kanyisa Boy. The aim of this podcast is to have no bars held conversations about everything. Today, we're talking about education. The reason why we're talking about education is, again, we find ourselves in a position during the COVID-19 epidemic where we need to discuss children, learners going back to school. There's a robot conversations about schooling right now more than ever. A lot of parents have taken to schooling their children at home because schools were closed. And there's a big move towards online learning. So parents are trying to figure out what is best for their children. Without further ado, today we're joined by Lou Vogiba. She is an education enthusiast and is currently doing her master's in psychology. Luvo, welcome.
Hi, Kanyisa. Thank you very much for having me on to your podcast. And may I just add that I am no expert in the field. I just, like many other South Africans, share sentiments around this particular space.
Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be part of this conversation. I know that you're doing your master's in psychology. I'm just wondering, which parts of education are you interested in?
Okay, so my area of interest would definitely be basic education. I think simply because it does form the foundations for learning. And I think especially at the foundation phase, which I believe is a critical area for learning and development. Other than that, I've also done a few literacy and numeracy skills-based projects in this space, and it's definitely an area which I have a keen interest for. And one day hope to make a meaningful contribution towards.
Numeracy and literacy are definitely the areas that kids seem to be struggling with, particularly in the public system. So I'm just going to jump right in and ask you, as parents, as governments, what conversations are we not having at this time about education and learning?
I think it's important to note that this virus is new, and it's new to everyone. So I think that it is only fair to acknowledge the efforts that are being made, by the government, because it definitely cannot be an easy seat to take, especially because I think that they don't know themselves. It is all trial and error, and so I don't think that they can give the answers of how, but it is, again, it's just trial and error. But I would say that, well, in my opinion, that the engagement with the stakeholders and parents and educators are continuously being had, and which is why the education sector is being opened to carry on with the conversations to further engage on the implementation processes. I think this is just my general take home from the minister's speech yesterday, and that the minister also acknowledged in his speech that we as a country are not yet ready for our schools to open. And I can appreciate that level of honesty, and that basically these sessional dates are only just proposed as inquiry continues to happen, and I think one can get a sense that the safety of children is a great priority at this stage, while learning and curriculum objectives stand heavily compromised. I think, though, my biggest concern right now is the issue of online learning. In a country that has limited to no access
to equal education. I think for me, we are frustrating an already frustrated system. Then, you know, this has grave impacts on the majority of our South Africans.
I guess we all feel like we've been kicked in the chest by this pandemic. And so I'm just curious, you know, take me through the psyche of a child who is going into this kind of transition.
I mean, I think children are generally resilient little beings and who can adjust and cope better with change under conducive environments. And currently, we as a country are under great uncertainty and anxiety, I mean, even in our homes and in our schooling environments, you know. So I think the challenge here would be, how do we ensure these environments that will help a child to better cope with this new normal, you know. And adjusting to new situations can definitely be a daunting task to a child. But it can be done. You know, children need routine. Children need healthy boundaries and emotional support and guidance. So this in essence are basically, so these basically in essence are tools that you as a parent and as a teacher are giving to a child, you know, and to help them better cope with the transition, and especially to help them cope with the demands of learning.
Oh, okay. It seems like children are probably better wired for changes than we are as parents, even as governments. So tell me, what can we do? What do we do to support both the learner and the teacher, both the child and the teacher? What can we do as parents, as systems, to support learner and child? I mean, pardon me, learner and teacher.
Given the unknown, what is important at both a learner and teacher support level, if they are not doing so already, is to create systems of support and routine. This can also be done at home level, where parents, first of all, can implement a balanced routine for the child with breaks in between. So this helps set up boundaries and structure for a child, which they need to help them manage and cope with the new setup. Like, these breaks are equally important, and I can't stress this enough, because this helps manage concentration levels and anxiety levels, you know. I also think that parents can also, amongst themselves, create groups with their child, with their child's grade teacher, where ongoing communication is being had, in order to facilitate the learning demands. I mean, this space can also be open to sharing ideas where a parent is struggling with their child, and, you know, other parents can also contribute or share ideas of how to help with that situation, basically. And then also, I think that I know teachers have created these support systems amongst themselves as colleagues to ensure that the curriculum objectives are being carried out. So that is currently happening. But again, I think this speaks to the minority who have and can afford to set up these systems in place. Because in reality, this is difficult to implement, where the challenge is access to online learning means for data for the majority of South Africans. But it is not to say that these cannot happen at a smaller scale, where parents can set up small support groups of, say, about 5 amongst themselves, or they can even consult their own friends who are parents, you know, as well.
Sure. Inequality most certainly is stark. I imagine a situation where a parent is trying to get as much for their child as possible, whether it's data or time even, because we don't think of time as a resource. And my next question then is, how do we ensure that a child can learn? And how do we ensure that learning for myself as a parent, or any parent for that matter, whether resourced or under-resourced, is not labored or does not feel labored?
I think balance is key. And to ensure that learning is taking place as effectively as possible and where possible, and at the same time, leave room for play. You know, children learn better through play. And when I say play, I mean that it's not take for granted things like card games. Card games are really good to help stimulate the brain, you know, and you can be as creative as possible using simple tools or simple games, you know, card games. And I always use, I always suggest building the number 24 using a set of four cards, for example. And, you know, the whole household can take part in this. And actually, the child doesn't even know that they're actually participating in maths. But it's a nice and it's fun and way of actually, and creative way of doing maths, you know. And it's outside the classroom environment and it's outside of the whole learning environment, and no homework, but it's fun, you know. So it's just finding those creative means of how can we stimulate the child without making it feel like it is a school activity.
I think my biggest takeaway from this conversation is that we have got to be inventive. We've got to be creative. In the midst of this fear, we need to know that everyday things can be useful things that children can learn from. Wow, as a complete system of parents, of teachers, of governments, we're trying to figure out what other ways a resource. You know, you indicated that you're concerned about online learning because some children don't have access to this. So resource-wise, how else we can make sure that the learning never stops? So using everyday things. And I think these things have been said to us so many times. Right now, actually, we need to now be involved. And I'm so...
I think, again, we have never been faced with such a crisis before. And I think that we are finding ways around coping with its heavy impacts on each sector. But the education system has been hit the most at a basic and a high level. I also think that we have been thrust into a position of innovation and restructuring of the education system as a whole. So I see opportunity here. This is taking our education system in a new direction and possibly what we needed. I can imagine that this is both a daunting and exciting time in the space of research and development. And I look forward to seeing which direction this takes our education system as a whole.
Thank you so much, Luvo. And that was Luvo Kiba reminding us that we haven't been here before. And so we ourselves have much to learn. And that every day is potentially an opportunity for us to teach. And education was never supposed to just happen in the classroom. And so we look around us, we look online, we look offline. And where we can share resources, we do so. Thank you so much for joining Eve's Apple, the podcast. And remember, every Sunday morning, we drop a new episode just so that you can get wind of new conversations.